Good afternoon, folks, or evening, wherever you might be residing at this moment. This is Carolyn Evers, and as you know, I just love being here, sharing thoughts and ideas with you. And as you might have read in our email, Dr. Richard Presser is with us. So, Richard.
Good evening.
I give you that big introduction, and you say good evening. I love it. Anyway, today is going to be another interesting show, as you might have read in the email. Jason, the gentleman from Arcturus, who is involved with the crop circles, is going to talk to us about ascension. And so I hope you have come with your questions, because he certainly is not a shy one about giving his opinions, and I just love it. So let us begin. And, Richard, one of the things that I thought might be a good idea for you to start out with is to go back to that time in Atlantis when humanity fell into this very low vibration. So give us a few thoughts about that, because some of what is involved or going to be occurring during ascension is going to be correcting some of those things that happened then. So give us some ideas.
Sure. There are, I guess, not that many of humanity that actually accept that Atlantis was in truth what it was. Lots of people still think it was some lost city somewhere, whereas in truth it was a major civilization, major global civilization, really, that existed on Earth. And essentially what happened was the power that existed in Atlantis, which involved energies that were sent forth from powerful crystals, essentially like a laser energy, which that energy was used for, you could say, creative purposes. And there were those of the dark who infiltrated the priest structure, those that were responsible for managing that energy. And they decided to essentially take over and use this energy and indeed dominate the those living in Atlantis. And so it was decided that this really wasn't an acceptable scenario. And the power that was in the hands of those individuals, both because of the energies from that crystal, but also with the abilities of the human form, and the things that they could do, it was decided to shut all of that down. And so the energies that came to the planet at the last time we were in alignment with galactic center, which is what will happen at the solstice of December 2012, that opportunity was used to essentially transform the nature of the human physical body and to significantly shut down the skills and abilities so that that abuse could no longer continue. And so at that time we had more than 2,000 DNA strands, and as you will no doubt know, we have but two today. And the left and right hemispheres of the brain were much more closely connected. The spacing between particles within the planet and also within the physical body were much greater, and so they were able to hold much more light, much more energy between the particles, and hence the capabilities were much greater, and indeed the light of the soul, you could say, would shine through the physical body and indeed light up the clothes. So it was quite an extraordinary time and quite different from how we are today. And I would also add there have been those who worked very hard to destroy the artifact record of the existence of that civilization so that, you know, humanity is not drawn to ask questions about it. It's like it doesn't exist or never existed. And so what's happening with the ascension process that we are, you could say, on the ramp-up process towards is essentially restoring those capabilities and indeed in some ways increasing them. So it's a pretty amazing process.
Thank you, Richard. And I would also like to add, because I find this to be very important, is in that time, the higher self was able to exist in the heart center. And the heart center is comprised of the heart mind, the beating heart, and the heart chakra. And that forms a triangle there in the chest area. And so that we would be very much closer to our spiritual information, our individual spiritual leadership. And so when the particles, when we dropped down into this lower dimension, the particles became so compacted that the higher self couldn't live within and now resides over top of the head. And, of course, one of the things that we do in our conference calls is to teach people how to work from the right side of the brain, which is where spiritual information comes in. The left side of the brain has to do with questioning, with judgment. And this is one of the reasons why many people get confused when they start receiving spiritual information, because they start to ask why. Oh, is this true? They start asking questions about it instead of just going with their spiritual information, and they get confused. So what's happening now is as there is becoming more spaces in between the cells, we are finding in our conference calls that some people are able to work with their high self so that the high self is starting to live inside the physical. And I find this very exciting because what that means is you don't have to go into a meditation, bring in the high self into the body, ask questions, listen, get your answers. Your high self is starting to reside inside of that heart center. And this is very exciting because it means that humans are able to be directed completely, well, I won't say completely, but they'll be able to get all the answers that they need between being connected to their body and to their high self and to Father God. So, Richard, if I know this is kind of like off of the mark of our topic today, but I think people need to know about these conference calls that we do, and maybe you could just say a word or two about it, because I think learning how to work and react and understand the right side of the brain is extremely important today. Do you think you might be able to do that?
Look, I'll see what I can manage, Carolyn.
That's good.
Yes, it's a really interesting area because, as Carolyn was saying, we have become pretty much disconnected from the right side of the brain. Indeed, if you look at how our world is set up, our education system focuses in the left side of the brain, and so much that goes on in our world focuses us there. The violence in movies and television, loud thumping music, the fear which dominates the news bulletins that come to us and so on, all of these things and many other things focus us in that left side of the brain. And really the truth of who and what we are and the skills and abilities that we possess really, you could say, arise in that right side of the brain. And I'm drawn, as you asked me about this, Carolyn, to chase down a beautiful quote that I really like from Einstein, and I'll find it while I'm chatting here. But the skills that we have in through that right side of the brain are truly extraordinary. Let me quote Einstein on this. The intuitive mind is a sacred gift. The rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift. And I just think that's a beautiful illustration of exactly what we're talking about. And so what we do on these calls is we work with people to begin to reawaken that ability and indeed that trust of communicating through that right side of the brain. We teach people how to communicate with their physical bodies. We have forgotten the incredible abilities that the physical body, the consciousness of the physical body actually carries. It's quite extraordinary. It carries great wisdom, great knowledge. It has knowledge of our mission and many, many other things, and indeed can guide us on many things. And we also, as Carolyn said, teach people how to connect with their higher self and communicate with that. We also teach people how to speak with beings on the other side of the veil that surrounds this beautiful planet of ours. So it's quite exciting work that we do in that regard. It's a lot of fun.
I would like to add that to that, Richard, is a lot of people say, well, I do communicate with my body. But what we're talking about is for the body to actually communicate back, to answer the question. And that's what's missing with a lot of people's meditations right now. They are asking, but they don't always hear the answer. And I just wanted to mention that, so in case people were not understanding what we were referring to. Something that I do want to mention before we get into this, and Jason's trying to get my attention, Richard. Would you just focus your attention for a moment towards Jason's, what he has to say, because he sure is pulling my sleeve right at the moment. He wants to get in on this conversation.
Well, let's see what he has to say. And he is saying, this subject that you are discussing is a very important one, because what comes forth on the right side of the brain is critical in terms of understanding the truth of who and what you are. Humanity has become very separated from the truth of all that they are, the powers that they possess as souls and as beings occupying a physical body. And you are approaching the time when those skills and abilities will begin to reawaken in great haste, you could say. And so beginning to grasp this ability, beginning to remember how to connect through the right side of the brain and to re-engage with the physical body, with the higher self and other beings. Not only other beings outside of your dimension, but also plants, animals, the elementals, all sorts of forms of consciousness you can communicate with through the right side of the brain. And humanity has forgotten all of this. Very few members of humanity have retained any of these skills. And so this work that you have begun to undertake to alert people to this is very important preparation for humanity as you approach that time at the end of 2012 and beyond. Indeed, I encourage you, if you are not already planning to include some of this teaching with the work that you have healers teach as they bring forth the karmic clearing and rejuvenation commands when that begins to happen if I can give my view on this, encourage you to include the skills and abilities to communicate through the right side of the brain as part of that work.
Thank you, Jason. And for those who perhaps have not listened to some of our past radio shows, Jason is a very fascinating individual. He comes from a Taurus. He explained how they send energy to Earth, the design of the crop circle, so to speak, and how that is implemented into the planet. They have been watching over humanity, and we started with the crop circle work because it was, you might say, a nudge to our subconscious, which is wonderful, but I wanted to bring forth this information to our conscious level. And that is when he started giving us explanations of what the crop circles actually meant. And then he gave this point of view about the ascension. And Richard, I would like to have you, if you would, tell people how they get their copies of these things. We send them out without charge, and we feel that it is extremely important for people to be aware of these messages, no matter where they come from, because we only work with those sources that are reliable and we can trust. So this information, we're not going to be able to get everything out today. Tell people how they would get copies of this.
Yes, the way to receive this material from us is to go to our website, the2012countdown.com, and register at the bottom of any of those pages so you receive this material. And that's really the thing to do on an ongoing basis. Some of the material is redistributed. For example, the Father God messages that we send out are they're available ongoingly. You can subscribe to receive those. But the way to perhaps gather that material from Jason is actually to go to YouTube. You will find there's a user registered under my name, Richard Presser, with no dots or dashes or anything. It's just Richard Presser run together as a user, and you'll find Jason's message there along with all of the Father God messages and quite a lot of our other material. So the best thing really is to, as I said, go to the 2012countdown.com website and subscribe.
Beautiful. Now, something that I want to cover and is the fact that at Galactic Center, our scientists have, well, I don't think it's been too long ago, where they've come to the conclusion that there's a black hole there. And Jason has given us information about what's on the other side of that black hole, that there, you might say, is a sister to us as far as our planet is concerned. So, Richard, would you be kind enough just to talk a little bit about the black hole, how it's a mirror image in dark matter? Dark not meaning of negative beings, but it's the way energy is in the cosmos, that there is a lot of dark matter. Our scientists don't understand what all of this dark matter means, but I'd like for you just to touch base with that and what this energy that is going to come to Earth at the time of the solstice in 2012 is actually coming from that particular area. So just touch base a little on that, if you would.
Sure. The first element that you raised is the issue of what you referred to as dark matter, and there are really two elements that make that up. Firstly, science has, in a sense, concluded that much of the energy of the cosmos is expressed as dark matter, a very large amount. And indeed, a lot of that they have measured is in fact what I would call the background energy of the cosmos, which is far, far greater than what is expressed in what we might call physical matter. So that, from a scientific perspective, most of the dark matter is that background energy, if you will. And what lies on the other side of the black hole at the center of the galaxy is, you could say, the electrical opposite of what's on this side. And this indeed is an aspect of creation that's not yet understood by science. There is this balance, this mirror image, if you will, either side of the black hole of any galaxy, to ensure that there is this balance. So what's on that side effectively is the same as what's on this side, except it's expressed in the electrically opposite pole. And so it's considered dark matter in that sense, in the sense that it's the opposite pole. And so in terms of its expression, it's really not different. And so what's on the other side of the black hole, the Milky Way galaxy black hole, is this mirror image of what's on this side, except it follows its own path, its own journey. And so what's there is the, you could say, mirror image of planet Earth. And there are beings on that planet very similar to us, except they've not experienced the fall as we did in Atlantis, nor this intermingling with the dark. And so they are very advanced, you could say. They have a lot of experience and wisdom that they have gathered. And so the energies that will actually come through to us at the time of the December 2012 solstice have many sources. There are energies that are coming to us from simply from galactic center. There are energies coming from cosmic center, which is where all there is, the creator of all, resides. And so there are energies coming from that source. There are energies being sent from the other side of the black hole, as I was describing, from that planet. They are sending energies forth to us, which in fact will carry some of their wisdom, and they will share that with us if we are open to receiving it. We can, you could say, go to school on their knowledge. And there is also a triangle of star systems, if you will, which are also sending important energies through that black hole at the time of that solstice. So there are many elements to that energy which are coming forth to us at the time of that December 2012 solstice.
Thank you, Richard. And I feel like this information is critical for people to understand, because there's so many, what I might say, scare stories out there, like this is going to be a big disaster. And I think it's very important to understand these elements, that this is a time of a, there is no disaster as it is being held in the public view. This is a time of great advancement, but energetically, the energies are going to be so much higher that we must prepare for them. And we've spoken about this. Don't wish to move along that right now. We'll probably do that on another radio show. But again, Jason is at my elbow, Richard, pulling my sleeve. He wanted to give a little more information about this aspect, if you would bring forth his information, please.
Okay, let's see what he has to say. And he is saying, the energies coming forth at the time of that solstice are truly transformational. It is a time when humanity can undertake great growth. And indeed, it is a choice that each individual needs to make. And I mentioned in my message about 2012, the last time we were on the radio together, that there is a requirement to prepare. And indeed, that is so. And the commands which were mentioned earlier, the karmic clearing and rejuvenation commands, are very necessary to be experienced to prepare for the time and for those energies. And I would mention that there are those who wish to create much fear within humanity about what is happening at the end of 2012. And we have already seen a movie come forth upon your planet that walks that path. And I would take the opportunity to mention that indeed there are, you could say, two timelines that have begun to run in parallel upon your planet. The first one is the one which leads to ascension and beyond, and those who choose that path, who begin to undertake those three steps, acknowledging your creator, clearing your karmic past, and rejuvenating the physical body, those who are walking that path will more and more find that events begin to unfold as they would choose them, and indeed it becomes more and more supportive. Whereas those who are not choosing that path will find circumstances becoming more and more difficult. And so those who are not choosing this path may indeed find this doomsday scenario, you could say, excuse me, beginning to unfold in their experience. And it simply is a matter of choice. Everybody has that choice upon your planet, and it's really important for humanity to begin to understand this choice. And many are wondering, given how little publicity there is of these events, and yet they are so close, how is that going to change? And I say to you that all of this has been planned. The events will unfold. And indeed, one of the most powerful events will be the emergence of the rejuvenation of the physical body. Your science has no basis for explaining what is about to unfold in that regard. Not only is it a winding back of the clock, you could say, in terms of the age of the physical body for those who've gathered a few extra years, but it involves bringing forth a level of perfection in the physical body which was never present in the past. Indeed, it involves a change in the physical body, the first step in preparing the physical body for how it will be after ascension. So that is why this entire process needs to be engaged. There is much change coming forth, and you do need to prepare. And if you prepare, it will be a very easy ride. And the preparation, as I say, is very simple. It's simply experiencing these two commands when they are available, and they will be available readily across the planet with time. It may seem that the time between now and that 2012 solstice is quite short, and in some ways it is, but I assure you it is more than adequate for what needs to be undertaken.
Thank you, Jason. And let's take a moment and take some calls, Richard. Samna from Maine is on line two, and we would like to connect with her and find out what her question is. Samna, are you there?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes. And your question?
My question is, I have a very, 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 very strong soul inclination to the date of 11-11-11. And I've been listening to many of the channelings talking about the 2012 solstice, but in my path towards ascension, I'm actually seeing the date of 11-11-11 a lot more seriously than 2012. And I'm wondering if Jason can clarify on why I would see it that way.
Well, let's ask Jason. I'm sure he has an opinion on this. Actually, he does. Richard, if you'd be kind enough to bring forth Jason's thoughts on this.
There are many dates that are important as we move down the path towards that date that I mentioned, the December solstice of 2012. And whilst most of the dates that are bringing forth key energies and key changes are connected to solstices and equinoxes and full moons and so on, there are also numerologically important dates that play important roles as you walk that path. And so there is one that is significant this year, which is the 10-10-10 date. And at the appropriate time, those who give the information to Carolyn and Richard about the important dates will share information with them about what energies are coming forth at that time, what changes will come forth. And the same is true of 11-11-11. It is also an important date in terms of preparation for that time. And that particular number, you could say, is a number of great power, because the number 11 is the number of mastery. And indeed, what is coming forth for humanity is the reclaiming of your mastery. So that date is very important, and perhaps on some level it carries some greater significance for you from a preparatory standpoint. That date is then followed by 12-12-12 in the year of 2012. So those three numerologically powerful dates are important in the preparation work for approaching 2012. But make no mistake, the energies that will come forth with that solstice of December 2012 will leave anything which precedes it in what you might call the starting stalls. These energies are truly transformational, and any human being that has not undertaken the karmic clearing and rejuvenation process by the time of that date will not survive the arrival of those energies. I say this so you have some sense of the importance of this date.
Thank you, Jason. And thank you, Samna, for asking that question. And we now have Lisa from Florida on line one. If we can connect with her, please.
Hello?
Hi. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
What's your question, dear? We're great.
I sort of have a three-part question, but I'm really curious about the removal process of karmic lives for the ascension process. And I know being human is a difficult task to be perfect or of love and light. And is perfection necessary for the ascension process? And in the process of preparing the body, will I know I'm ready for ascension? Because I really want to be not only a witness to this event, like I really want to be part of the ascension process and part of the new way. And I don't know what my piece of the whole is in that.
Lisa, I think that's a wonderful question. And
okay.
No, it truly is a wonderful question.
Oh, thank
when Richard and I have a conference call and we do the karmic clearing for an individual, it really is not us that does this. It okay. is the beings on the other side, masters, archangels, they do the clearing. And what the karmic clearing actually is negative energy that we have collected from past lifetimes that we store in this lifetime in that subtle body next to the physical that we call the emotional body. And it is so remarkable when we have people who actually see the beings, feel the beings, and feel the release of this past life karma. Now, you might say, well, how in the world are we going to have everyone who wishes to participate in this actually participate? The time is going to be coming very soon. We are collecting names of individuals who have promised as their mission coming into this lifetime that they're going to take these commands out and work with the public. Okay. And I would like to say that if there is anybody who has this sense that they've been a healer in the past, not knowing what their mission is this lifetime, they can do one of a couple of things. They can work with their high self to see if this is part of what they came to do. And they could also send us an email, one of the things. And Richard is compiling a list of many of these healers. The work is going to go forth all over the world with many people doing this. Richard, would you like to add something to that, what I said?
Yes, I would. There was an element to your question. Lisa, is it?
Yes. It's Liza, yeah. But yeah.
Oh, Liza.
Yes.
Liza, you talked about perfection, and there is a view of karma which I, by and large, associate with the essentially with the sort of Buddhist view of karma, which I find a little anal, I guess I would say.
Okay.
There is this great concern that if we do anything wrong, it's going to come back and bite us, and you know, we have to keep looking over our shoulder as if we do anything wrong, you know, we're going to mess all this up, and that kind of notion really. You know, the understanding which we have built through our work in relation to karma is that it's much more related to negative energies that we have built up in past lives. The experience of living lives on this planet has been incredibly difficult. Anyone, by and large, who has come forth to contribute to humanity in a positive sense has been targeted many, many times by the beings of the dark, and many have died in very difficult circumstances. And so they've left at the end of that lifetime holding great fear. In many cases, their soul has not returned to the light. And so there are these negative energies which are held in the emotional body. And it's actually those energies are held as a seed, you could say, on this level of consciousness, because they can't be taken forward to another level. And so when you reincarnate, those energies are returned to you.
Okay.
And so it's that notion of karma that you need to grasp. You don't need to be worried about, goodness, I might do something wrong and somebody will give me a cross and I'm going to fail the test to get to ascension.
Right.
Don't worry about any of that
okay.
stuff. It's a lot of nonsense.
Okay, the thing that with me is that a lot of times when I'm doing, like, not healings on myself, but when people are healing me or I'm going through, like, healing sessions, I have, like, multiple past lives that come up all the way back from, like, the Christ time. And
sure.
So I wonder to myself, like, how am I going to know when this is, like, you know, when will all of this be done for me?
Yeah, and it's a good question, and it's got a very simple answer.
Okay.
You need to, at some point, be exposed to the karmic clearing command. Nothing
okay.
else will do it.
Okay.
And this will do all of it. It's
okay.
very simple.
And
we have been... We have been given this beautiful gift, and
okay.
you know, it sounds like you like both Carolyn and I have been doing karmic clearing for, you know, 15, 20 years. And I remember a couple of years ago, before I really began to get involved with this, asking through Carolyn, perhaps of Yeshua or someone, you know, given all the clearing work that some of us have been undertaking for all of this time, how on earth are people who haven't done any of this work going to prepare? And it wasn't time for him to, you know, reveal to us the command, but, you know, explained that essentially the process was going to accelerate, it would change. And now we understand how this command gets it all done. And it's truly extraordinary, the results that we see come forth in people's lives as they clear this.
Okay. And that's
and I would like to add, and I would like to add to it, we're talking about 6 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Which is awesome.
Actually, I'm not sure that's accurate, Carolyn. I think it's about 8 minutes.
Oh, excuse me. 8, 10, 5.
I'm okay with that.
Mr. Precise here. Ah, it's not 6 minutes. It's 8 minutes. Oh, slap your hand. Excuse me.
Okay, so in order to do that, that's on your website, right? Because I'm kind of new to, like,
the only place at the moment you can do it is we do this as part of our soul healing sessions. And
okay,
you
right.
can find a page to those at the MetatronMinutes.com website.
Okay.
And at the moment that's the only place you can undertake that work. And as Carolyn was saying, with time we will teach these commands and activate them for other healers.
Okay.
But the time is not ready to do that. The rejuvenation command is not yet active, and we will not be teaching all of this until that is so.
Okay. But that's
and there will be many healers who will be involved in this across the planet.
Okay.
Many.
Hopefully I'm one of them. That would be nice.
Oh, you think you're one of them?
I said I hope I could be one of them.
And you might be.
Indeed you might.
Well, thank you so much. You answered a whole lot of questions for me, and I'm really...
You're welcome.
And I'll just add one more thing to all of that. This work with, in terms of experiencing these commands, as we go forward, will not just be done on a one-on-one basis. Indeed, it will be a one-on-many basis. Indeed, Father God has said on numerous occasions during these calls, when we're working with... people that as we approach the end of 2012, he sees thousands of people coming together to experience these commands at the same time. So it's not something that needs to be done one-on-one.
Okay. Well, I might just do it one-on-one too, though.
That's good. Well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Go to MetatronMinutes.com and you'll find the page there for soul healing and you'll see all the details.
Okay, that's awesome. Oh,
thank you, Liza. So
okay. The
bottom line is nobody has to be concerned that they're not going to make the cut, so to speak. There will be arrangements, so it is possible for everyone to be in alignment with this. And I'd like to add that Spirit is making certain that they are taking care of everyone. It's all part of the plan. And it is really fascinating because some people that we know that will be in line to carry forth these commands are presently working in very poor countries where people don't have finances. And so there's going to be arrangements for everyone. Now, we have Patricia from Canada on line 3. Can we connect with her, please? Patricia, are you there? Well, maybe Patricia got a little tired waiting for her number to come up and has hung up. So let us go forward from our caller from New Jersey on line 2, please. And Patricia, if you care to call back later, do that. We only have another maybe 8 minutes, 9 to 10 minutes. So if that's within your desire, call back. And so our New Jersey caller, are you in line?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, I'm Frank.
Hi, Frank. Are you from New Jersey?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're the one. What can we do for you, Frank?
Yes, I had a question for Jason, specifically about the two major events up until Ascension in 2013. You mentioned, obviously, the December 21st solstice, and also the spring equinox of 2013. And you mentioned that the December 21st solstice is more or less an initializing event for the 2013 equinox. I was just wondering if Jason could offer a perspective about what is the difference between the 2012 solstice and the 2013 equinox and how they both connect to each other.
That's an excellent question. I got to chuckle because we're so accustomed to internet, you know, taking us all around the planet. And now we have, by virtue of the internet, we can connect with another planet. That just cracks me up. I just love it. So, Richard, Frank wants to know the difference between Jason's perspective on this 2012 and 2013, if you would, please.
The solstice of December 2012 will bring forth the energies that I have described. And yes, they are preparatory energies for what will subsequently unfold. They will change the spacing in the particles of all matter upon your planet, including your physical bodies, indeed all matter within your solar system, because it is impacting all elements of your solar system, not just your planet. And these energies will trigger significant changes within the physical body. I have mentioned that the body will need to be prepared before that time via the rejuvenation command. And so these energies will activate further aspects of that physical body. Indeed, a key part of that preparation is to place it in a state where it is able to activate the DNA strands which will occur on the 28th of December 2012 with the birth of that aspect of Marietta that I mentioned. And so those two events are actually quite important in preparation for the equinox of 2013. And so what will occur at the time of that equinox is a shift in vibration, a shift in dimension. It is what has been referred to as the ascension event. And what that entails is as I said, a shift in vibration. Humanity will move from what has been the lowest vibration at which any beings exist with a soul, such as you and I possess, and will move to the highest vibration, at which a being with a physical body exists. It will be quite an extraordinary shift. You will move to what is known as the angelic dimension. Some people refer to it as the fifth dimension on your planet. We would refer to it as the angelic dimension. And so you will vibrate at a very high level and yet retain a physical body. And again, this is part of the reason that the physical body needs to be prepared in the way that I have outlined. This shift will be truly extraordinary. And so, as I have said before, the energies of that solstice really are preparatory. And also, it carries great gifts, as I have explained, and it is up to the individuals to choose to be in a conscious place to take advantage of those energies. But that is not a subject for today.
Thank you, Jason. And thank you for the question, Frank. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. If it's not a problem, could I ask one more?
If you'd be kind enough, call back on the next show. We have Anton who's been waiting, and we have
like
3 minutes on the show. So would you be kind enough to allow Anton on line 3 to get a quick question in?
Yeah,
but
no
we'll
problem.
Do this again and then call back. We'll let you know. We'll inform you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anton.
Yes?
Online. Yes. Your question, please.
Okay, I read that the planet Earth is actually not in the Milky Way galaxy. Is that true?
You are asking if planet Earth, you're stating that planet Earth might not be in the Milky Way galaxy?
Yes.
Where do you think it is?
Oh, that's not me. There are some scientists who figured that out. It's in the other, planet Earth actually belongs to another galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Let's
say,
Jason.
That?
No, I haven't, to be honest with you, but let's real quick ask Jason his answer to this.
Oh,
Jason.
That would be nice.
Richard?
There are places where galaxies intersect, you could say. And indeed, your solar system is in such a place where two galaxies intersect. And so it is possible for some to consider or to argue that your solar system resides in a different galaxy. However, I would say to you that from a spiritual heritage perspective, from a perspective of the progression of humanity, for the role that Earth plays in the context of a galaxy, it is very much part of the Milky Way galaxy, just as we are, and just as many, indeed all of the beings who oversee the progression of the consciousness of humanity, all of those beings reside in the Milky Way galaxy. And so you can put your mind at rest because planet Earth is very much part of the Milky Way galaxy.
Thank you, Jason. And Anton, thank you for asking that interesting question. We are out of time right now. I just love being with you. And Richard, thank you for being with us. We love every time you spend a moment with us, and Jason also. So did you care to say goodbye to our friends?
Indeed, and thank you for the opportunity, Carolyn. It's been fun, and Jason, thank you for coming forth and making life interesting for us and sharing your wisdom.
Yes, indeed. We get some questions we really weren't expecting. So until next Saturday, it's my great pleasure to be here with Richard bringing forth this information. And in case you missed some of the show, there is a repeat of this tomorrow. Tune in and listen to it. Goodbye for now. Talk to you soon.